RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by press review, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Australia and Indonesia build new wastewater plant in Palembang. PT PLN obtained 16.3 trillion rupiah loan for constructing infrastructure. Now the news in detail. Australian Ambassador to Indonesia Paul Grigson visited Palembang, South Sumatra on Thursday, November 2nd, and met local leaders, university students, and Australian alumni. The ambassador joined Governor of South Sumatra Alex Nurdin and Mayor of Palembang Harno Joyo for a groundbreaking ceremony to mark the start of construction on the new Palembang City Wastewater Treatment Plant. The plant will be jointly funded by Australia and Indonesia and has a total value of 1.2 trillion rupiah. Ambassador Grigson said that the treatment works will make a real difference to the lives of thousands of families in Palembang and will demonstrate a more sustainable way of planning, budgeting, building, and maintaining sanitation infrastructure, which should be replicated in cities across Indonesia. He said that the partnership supports the government of Indonesia's goal for all households to have access to clean water and basic sanitation by 2019. The project will initially provide sewerage connections to 12,000 households and businesses. Indonesian state-owned electricity company PT PLN has obtained 16.3 trillion rupiah, or around $1.20 billion, of syndicated loan from banks and non-banks. It is a scheme that combined conventional and Sharia financing. The conventional scheme contributed 12 trillion rupiah and the Sharia scheme contributed 4.3 trillion rupiah with a 10-year term. PLN President Director Sofian Basir said in Jakarta on Thursday that it is the first time that PLN has signed a loan in a Sharia scheme. It is also the biggest Sharia credit in Indonesia. The financing institutions involved in the syndicated loan include Maybank Indonesia, Bank Mandiri Syariah, Sarana Multi Infrastructure, BNI Syariah, and Bank Permata Syariah. This year, PLN needs about 86 trillion rupiah to develop the electricity infrastructure, or a 43% increase compared to the project realization in 2016. PLN is tasked by the government to implement the 35,000 megawatt program, which is targeted to be completed in 2019. Bintan in Riau Islands is set to host a night run event on Saturday, November 4, named Bintan Moon Run, or BMR 2017. Bintan Regent Apri Suyadi has said recently that the event is unlike any other running events, as the participants will be running under the moonlight around a man-made lake. Taking place at Treasure Bay area, Logoi Bay, Bintan Resort, the venue is said to be the biggest location in Southeast Asia that is equipped with 6.5 hectares of a beach-themed pool. Regent Apri also remarked that the Bintan is aiming to attract at least 1,000 participants, half of them are from overseas. The running event is part of collaboration between Bintan Resort, Adventure Singapore and Firefly Connections and supported by Indonesian Tourism Ministry. The event organizer also partners with Soundscape Music Festival. Visitors and participants can take part in the music festival later on. Firefly Connections owner Lyndon Yu said, Bintan Resort has currently 10 independent beach resorts, 4 golf courses and various facilities. The tremendous wealth of regional languages possessed by Papua makes Papua worthy of being said to be a heaven on earth. This was affirmed by the head of linguistic strategy of Development Center for Language Strategy and Diplomacy of the Ministry of Education and Culture of Indonesia, Joni Endardi, in a special interview with Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta on Wednesday, November 1, 2017.
Bahasa daerah ini menjadi laboratorium para peneliti-peneliti barat.
Local language become laboratory for Western researchers such as Professor Dr. Jim Stekolin, Ben Northofen. Their researchers have produced studies on Proto-Malay Javanic, Proto-Malay, and Adelar as well as Proto-Malay. Their laboratories are in Indonesia, so why don't we care about our local language? There are many studies in Western Indonesia conducted by Western researchers.
Joni added that the richness of regional languages in Papua is that every village or small area has its own language. The year 2017 marks the 50th anniversary of Israel's illegal occupation of the West Bank, East Jerusalem, and the Gaza Strip in Palestine. The occupation began in 1967 after a six-day war between Israel and Arab countries such as Egypt, Jordan, and Syria. Various forms of human rights violations occurred in occupational areas in form of shootings, murder, extrajudicial executions, arrest, imprisonment, and restrictions on the rights of expression, restrictions on mobilization, and so on. Executive Director of Amnesty International Indonesia, Usman Hamid, at the international seminar, 50 Years of Israeli Occupation of Palestine, held in Jakarta recently said that Indonesia plays a leading role in the Association of Nations. He said that Indonesia's good relations with 55 Arab countries and the United States are the main capital to increase international pressure on Israel to stop all forms of human rights violations in the occupied territories of Israel in Palestine.
Indonesia menjadi satu dari 55 negara Arab dan negara berpenduduk mayoritas Islam.
Indonesia is one of 55 Arab and Muslim majority countries attending the Arab Islamic American Summit in Riyadh on May 21, 2017, which aims to maintain and promote world peace and stability. Not only that, due to Indonesia's strategic position as the largest Muslim country in the world, President Joko Widodo is believed to be one of 5 world leaders to deliver a message of peace.
Usman Hamid further explained that Indonesia does not have diplomatic ties with Israel so that it is difficult to lobby Israel. Therefore, Indonesia must use its influence in Arab Islamic American Summit Forum. Usman views that Indonesia could call on 55 Arab and Muslim majority countries and the U.S. to close their markets for products from the Israeli occupied territories in Palestine. He also remarked that stopping the profitable businesses will help cripple the economy of occupied areas where human rights violations have occurred for 50 years. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The extinction of a number of local languages in Indonesia is caused by many factors. One of them that has major influence is that the native speakers do not intend to protect their own languages. This was stated by Head of Protection Division of the Agency for Language Development of the Ministry of Education and Culture, Ganjar Harimansyah, in a special interview with Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta recently.
Nah, iya, memang kalau penutur bahasa itu sendiri tidak punya keinginan untuk menjaga bahasanya.
If native speakers have no desire to protect their own languages, it is a sign that the languages are going to extinct. but we try to avoid the extinction, for example, through the conservation and revitalization of the languages. There are many factors leading to the extinction, such as the decrease in the number of native speakers, war, major natural disasters, and intermarriage. Harimansyah added, no positive attitude or support from native speakers for their own language is one of the factors leading to the extinction of local languages. Therefore, his agency keeps trying to avoid such loss.
Harimansyah added, no positive attitude or support from native speakers for their own languages is one of the factors leading to the extinction of the local languages. Therefore, his agency keeps trying to avoid such a lull. South Korean President Moon Jae-in will visit Indonesia from November 8 to 10. He is set to meet President Joko Widodo on November 9 in the Bogor Palace, West Java. This is his first visit to ASEAN and Indonesia since President Moon Jae-in was inaugurated. Director of East Asia and the Pacific of the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Edi Yusuf, said that the visit shows a high commitment of South Korea to enhance cooperation with Indonesia and ASEAN. In a press briefing on Thursday, Edi Yusuf explained that the meeting will be focused on improving economic cooperation, investment, trade protection for Indonesian citizens, and regional and multilateral issues such as the Korean Peninsula. He said that South Korea is one of Indonesia's strategic partners in the region, especially in the field of investment and trade. In the future, both leaders will enhance strategic partnership to a higher level.
Jadi sebelumnya strategic partnership kemudian akan ditingkatkan menjadi special strategic partnership.
So the strategic partnership will be upgraded to special strategic partnership. This means that this partnership will be further refined to concrete cooperation, especially to support the acceleration program of industrialization in Indonesia and the expansion of cooperation in the framework of bilateral cooperation between Indonesia and South Korea, including in the South Pacific.
Edi Yusuf further explained that the meeting of the two heads of state will be marked with signing of three memorandum of understanding in the field of industry, transportation, and health. In addition to a bilateral meeting with President Joko Widodo, President Moon will hold a business forum on November 9 in Jakarta. The business forum will be attended by 300 entrepreneurs consisting of 150 Indonesian business people and 150 Korean business people. According to the plan, 10 memorandum of understanding will be signed in the business forum. The last item, Indonesia is one of the language study centers for language researchers in the world, especially from the West. Indonesia has also produced interesting studies on languages. This was affirmed by the head of Linguistic Strategy of Development Center for Language Strategy and Diplomacy of the Ministry of Education and Culture of Indonesia, Joni Endardi, in a special interview with Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta on Wednesday, November 1, 2017.
Bahasa daerah ini menjadi laboratorium para peneliti-peneliti barat.
Local language become laboratory for Western researchers, such as Professor Dr. Jim Stekolin, Ben Northofen. Their researchers have produced studies on Proto-Malay Javanic, Proto-Malay, and Adelar, as well as Proto-Malay. Their laboratories are in Indonesia, so why don't we care about our local language? There are many studies in Western Indonesia conducted by Western researchers.
Joni further said that the Development Center for Language Strategy and Diplomacy of the Ministry of Education and Culture will continue to conduct studies related to local languages, especially from Eastern Indonesia, to maintain the values and norms that exist in the languages. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. Australia and Indonesia build new wastewater plant in Palembang. PTPLN obtains 16.3 trillion rupiah loan for constructing infrastructure. That was the news.
Hello, listeners. Nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. The title of today's commentary is Aung San Suu Kyi Visited Rakhine. Myanmar's de facto leader, Aung San Suu Kyi, visited Rakhine State on Tuesday, November 2, 2017. This was her first visit since the Muslim-ruled Rohingya region was wrecked by a conflict last August. 600,000 Rohingyas were forced to flee, mostly to neighboring Bangladesh due to the conflict. The United Nations and international human rights organizations had found evidences of ethnic cleansing in Rakhine. They said that hundreds of Rohingya Muslims were killed, and the majority of Rohingyas are driven from their homeland by burning houses, rape, and murder. Instead, the Myanmar government said that it was fighting Rohingya terrorists who launched attacks on security posts and killed dozens. With tight guard, Aung San Suu Kyi visited Mondaw, the hardest hit region. In this location, the Nobel Peace Laureate met with Muslim clerics. According to AFP news agency, there were three messages that Suu Kyi had exposed to Rohingya Muslims. They should live in peace and the government would help them, and they should not fight each other. Since her party won the 2015 election, Suu Kyi is de facto acting as head of the Burmese government, whose power is limited by the constitution created by the former military junta. The military had a veto over the law, controlling separate strategy ministries, security and defense. The military operate in Rakhine, and Aung San Suu Kyi has no power to stop the operation. With limited power, Suu Kyi faces international criticism. As a fighter of democracy, on one hand, she is considered slow in responding to human rights abuses in Rakhine. On the other hand, she will also face the opposition of the majority of Burmese if she defends the Rohingyas. Most Burmese people agree with their government's claim that Rohingyas are not native to Myanmar, but illegal immigrants from Bangladesh. Although it may be true from Bangladesh, they have lived in Myanmar for generations, and the number has reached over 1.5 million people. Aung San Suu Kyi's visit to Rohingya is expected to start violence against Rohingyas. Until now, the number of Rohingya refugees continues to flow, even though not as many as before. There is no other way for the Burmese military except cooperating with the civilian government in overcoming this long-standing humanitarian crisis. For the sake of humanitarian aspect, Burmese military must protect Rohingyas and it in Myanmar. They certainly do not want international terrorist attention to lead to Myanmar and cause new problems there. Myanmar, that free-front economic sanctions, should be able to address domestic issues that may hamper ongoing investment and democratic transitions. Listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. Listener, we start from an event which occurred on November 3, 1935. Greek King Georges II returned to the throne. Georges II, King Helenia, was the king of Greece who reigned in 1922 to 1924 and also 1935 to 1947. The king
ascended the throne replacing his father on September 27, 1922, and resigned due to a request of the National Council late 1923 and withdrew to Romania. He was officially removed from the throne when the Second Hellenic Republic was proclaimed on March 25, 1924. On November 3, 1935, Georgius II returned to the throne after a military coup overthrew the Republican regime. The next event was in 1936 when Franklin Delano Roosevelt was re-elected as the United States President. Franklin Delano Roosevelt was the 32nd U.S. President and the only U.S. President who was elected for the first time from 1933 until 1945. He was a figure in the 20th century and ranked the third in the U.S. presidential history. He put himself at the forefront of supporting the reforms. Franklin Delano Roosevelt became the first president in 1933. At that time, the United States experienced the peak period of depression. More than 13 million Americans did not have a job and the irregular banking system. In 1936, at the presidential election, a peaceful revolution in the economy and social, which was launched by President Roosevelt, has managed to bring back some of the improvements and the construction of America. Because of that, on November 3, 1936, Roosevelt was re-elected as the UN President with a huge number of votes, filling that the world peace in the future would depend on the relationship between the United States and the Soviet Union, President Roosevelt devoted much thought to establish the United Nations where international difficulties can be resolved. Eventually, his vision of an effective international organization to maintain peace was achieved with the establishment of the United Nations. On April 12, 1945, Franklin Delano Roosevelt died at the age of 63 years. And the last event was in 1978 when Dominica, officially the Commonwealth of Dominica, became a sovereign island country. The island was originally inhabited by the Kalinago and was later colonized by the Europeans, predominantly by the French from the 1960s, who arrived long after Columbus passed the island on Sunday, November 3, 1493. The island's name is derived from the Latin word for Sunday. Great Britain took it over in 1763 after the Seven Years' War and gradually established English as the official language. On November 3, 1978, the Commonwealth of Dominica was granted independence by the United Kingdom. That was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Hello listener, welcome to Focus. Today we'll invite you to talk about Indonesia rejects to recognize Catalonian independence. Catalonia expressed its desire from Spain and declared its independence. As released by the French news agency AFP, Catalonia declared independence on Friday, October 27 local time. The declaration following the result of vote held by regional parliaments. From the total of 135 members of the Catalonian regional parliament, 70 votes supported the declaration, while 10 votes rejected the declaration and 2 votes abstained. Other parliament members who are the opposition boycotted the vote. In response, many countries do not recognize the independence of Catalonia, including Indonesia. Germany, for example, has expressed support to the Spanish government in its dispute with separatist group in Catalonia. Germany declared it would not recognize the declaration of independence submitted by Catalonia Parliament. The same attitude was conveyed by European Union Council President Donald Tusk. He said the declaration of Catalonian independence would have no impact on the Spanish-European Union relations. Donald Tusk insisted that Spain remains the only European Union partner. Meanwhile, Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla and his office in Jakarta Tuesday, 31 of October, stressed that the Indonesian government will not recognize the independence of Catalonia from Spain, which was declared unilaterally. Vice President Yusuf Kalla considers the separation of Catalonia is a domestic affair of Spain. The statement of Vice President Yusuf Kalla further emphasized the Indonesian government's position that regarded Catalonia as part of Spain. Indonesia did not support the separatism, which was echoed after the trial of opinion on October 1, 2017. Previously, Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi has issued a statement that Indonesia will not recognize the independence of Catalonia since the region is part of the Spanish kingdom. Minister Retno Marsudi, escorted by Antara on Saturday, October 28, mentioned the Indonesian government considers Catalonia remains as integral part of Spain. That was today's focus. Listener, welcome to News in Brief. Australian Ambassador to Indonesia Paul Grigson visited Palembang, South Sumatra on Thursday, November 2nd, and met local leaders, university students, and Australian alumni. The ambassador joined Governor of South Sumatra, Alex Nurdin, and Mayor of Palembang, Harno Joyo, for a groundbreaking ceremony to mark the start of construction on the new Palembang City Wastewater Treatment Plant. Indonesian state-owned electricity company PT PLN has obtained 16.3 trillion rupiah, or around $1.20 billion, of syndicated loan from banks and non-banks. Bintan in Riau Islands is set to host a high-run event on Saturday, November 4, named Bintan in Riau Islands is set to host a night-run event on Saturday, November 4, named Bintan Moon Run, or BMR 2017. Bintan Region, Apri Suyadi, has said recently that the event is unlike any other running events, as the participants will be running under the moonlight around a man-made lake. The tremendous wealth of regional languages possessed by Papua makes Papua worthy of being said to be a heaven on earth. This was affirmed by the head of Linguistic Strategy of Development Center for Language Strategy and Diplomacy of the Ministry of Education and Culture of Indonesia, Joni Endardi, in a special interview with Voice of Indonesia. The year 2017 marks the 50th anniversary of Israel's illegal occupation of the West Bank, East Jerusalem, and the Gaza Strip in Palestine. The occupation began in 1967 after a six-day war between Israel and Arab countries such as Egypt, Jordan, and Syria. The extinction of a number of local languages in Indonesia is caused by many factors. One of them that has major influence is that the native speakers do not intend to protect their own languages. South Korean President Moon Jae-in will visit Indonesia from November 8 to 10. He is set to meet President Joko Widodo on November 9 in the Bogor Palace, West Java. Indonesia is one of the language studies centers for language researchers in the world, especially from the West. Indonesia has also produced interesting studies on languages. Listener, that was News in Brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. Today we'll invite you traveling to Padang, West Sumatra. Stay tuned. Listener, Padang is the capital of West Sumatra province. The city is known for its typical culinary, namely rendang. Rendang is recognized as one of the best food in the world. Located directly adjacent to the hills and oceans, making this city is also rich with beautiful natural attractions. One of the objects is Lubuk Hitam Waterfall. Lubuk Hitam Waterfall is located on Padang Painan Highway, precisely in Kota Lubuk Hitam Village, Cindakir, Bungus, Teluk Kabung Subdistrict, Padang City. From the city center of Padang, it is about 25 kilometers to the south, with travel time about 1 hour by motorcycle or car. Along the way, you will pass a winding path with hilly scenery on the left side and the high sea on the right side. The entrance gate to the area is a small road on the left of Padang Painan Highway. Once arrived inside, you will find a concrete road with 2 meters width, where on the left and right sides there are the stretch of rice field scenery owned by residents and the green hills. There are also some small waterfalls appeared on the sidelines of the hills. After driving longer and pass through the village, you will enter the tropical rainforest. There, you still have to walk through the uphill and downhill lanes. Along the way, you will hear the rush of the river, birds chirping, perch on the branches of trees, and sounds of various types of forest insects, until finally you will reach Lubuk Hitam Waterfall. To enjoy the beauty of the waterfall, you have to pay an entrance fee of 5,000 rupiah per person. Listener, Lubuk Hitam Waterfall is also called three-level waterfall because the three waterfalls are adjacent. To reach the first and second waterfall is relatively easy because the road is not too uphill. The waterfalls with 2 meters and 10 meters high, respectively, can be reached after walking through the residence Kokua Garden, 10 minutes from the parking area. Because it is not too difficult to reach the two waterfalls, a lot of tourists choose the places as their favorite destination place in their holiday. On the tourism objects, they can swim as much and capture the natural beauty by taking pictures. Listener, to reach the third level waterfall, you must try to conquer the heights and walk in the slippery cliffs overgrown with trees. To get there, it takes about 30 to 40 minutes depending on the ability of the visitors to walk on the height of 1,080 meters. Actually, to get to the location is not difficult, because you can find footpaths to reach the third Lubuk Hitam Waterfall. Interestingly, at the third Lubuk Hitam Waterfall, there are also three waterfalls, the large with 15 meters high, and the two others are approximately below 2 meters high. The lubuk or pond of the waterfalls is quite deep, so you should be careful when swimming. Unfortunately, in the tourism location, there is no restaurant in Lubuk Hitam Waterfall object, so you have to bring your own food. Listener, that was the segment of Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Lubuk Hitam Waterfall from Padang, West Sumatra. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Listener of Area World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, we meet again in our miscellany for today. Listener, Muslims in Indonesia celebrate two times of Lebaran or feast, Idul Fitri and Idul Adha. Idul Fitri is more familiar with common feast, while Idul Adha is frequently called as sacrifice feast or feast of the Hajj. These two feasts are celebrated cheerfully in Indonesia. In this occasion, miscellany focuses on the unique activity on celebration of Idul Adha, or usually people call it as sacrifice feast or feast of the Hajj. Today, Friday, September 1st, 2017, coincides with the 10th of Dzulhijjah, 1438, according to the Islamic calendar. Muslims in Indonesia celebrate the Feast of Idul Adha or Feast of the Hajj. Idul Adha is given the name of the Hajj because Muslims are performing the pilgrimage in the Holy Land of Mecca. Idul Adha celebration is different from the Feast of Idul Fitri because the Feast of Idul Adha is celebrated by means of slaughtering sacrificial animals. That's why the Feast of Idul Adha is also called the Sacrifice Feast. The essence of Idul Adha celebrations in all regions, especially in Indonesia, is actually the same: slaughtering sacrificial animals such as cow, goats, sheep, or camels. Then the meat of the sacrificed animals is distributed to people who are considered to poor and needy people. However, in addition to animal slaughter, there are some areas in Indonesia that have a unique way to commemorate the Idul Adha, such as Osing or Using tribe in Banyuwangi, East Java. Banyuwangi native residents carried out Mepe Kasur, or sunning mattress, that was held before the feast of Idul Adha comes. Uniquely, the process of sunning the mattress is performing simultaneously since the morning in front of each home. Occasionally, the mothers will flip and punch with a toolbar or broomstick to re-clean together so as to create a rhythm that is believed to resist the outbreak of the disease. Uniquely again, Osing tribe mattress is all red and black, called Gembil mattress. For local residents, the color of the mattress Gembil has its own meaning, namely, black color symbolizing a lasting relationship and red means spring. Listener, different locations have different customs. Such proverb strongly illustrates the diversity of traditions in this republic. If Mepe Kasur Osing tribe in Banyuwangi's Java is done before Hajj, Kaul and Abdau from Tuluhe community in central Maluku will be held every Idul Adha prayer finish. Kaul procession is a sacrificial animal ceremony inspired from the story of the sacrifice of Abraham. At the ceremony of Kaul in Tulehu, the goats to be slaughtered are carried by the customs and religious leaders to be paraded around with zikr and salawat to the Tulehu State Mosque. In this mosque, the goat slaughter ceremony is held. Meanwhile, Abda'u is a customary ritual followed by hundreds of Tulehu youths. This activity is similar to Grebek traditions in Solo in Yogyakarta. The difference is on the object being contested. If Grebek in Solo and Jogja fights over the produce of earth such as long beans, tomatoes, and others, Abda'u fights over the flag tied on a bamboo stick on 2 meter high. The procession of this battle will take place while traveling and will end at Tulehu State Mosque. Communities in Sambas Regency, West Kalimantan Province still continue to maintain the traditions of hospitality by visiting their fellow citizens not only during Idul Fitr or Lebaran Day, but also in Idul Adha. The celebration of Feast of the Hajj lasts until a week later. The uniqueness of the community in celebrating the feast is that every citizen must serve a layer cake. The layer cake, which becomes a character of Sambas, is a layer of peanut and milk cake. That was miscellany for today's edition with the topic Enjoy the Variety Tradition of Idul Adha in Indonesia. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening. We will meet again in the next miscellany. Bye-bye.
Again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Welcome back with me, Nuka, in Music Corner. In today's edition, we'll present to you Sundanese pop songs. Sundanese is an ethnic language used by almost people in West Java Province and in the western part of Central Java. Stay with us, listener, in RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. You can listen through shortwave on 9525 kHz, live streaming of English.RRIWorldService.com or our mobile application RRI Play through and RRI World Service on your smartphone. As the opening of this segment, let's listen to a song entitled Kalangkang by Nining Meida. Thank you.
listener, Kalangkang means shadow in Sundanese. This song was composed by Nano S, and it describes a feeling of a man to a woman had he admired, but it was only a dream and hope. Nining Meida is known as a Sundanese pop singer, and she sang a lot of Nano S songs, such as Potret Manehna and Rang Rang Panyawangan. Kalangkang is also chosen to be the title of Nining Meida's Sundanese pop album released in 1988. The album was sold for 1 million copies, a number hardly achieved by traditional songs in Indonesia. Originally, Kalangkang was made as a Degung version. With the suggestions by the composer himself, Nano S, the song is Kalangkang album were made in Sundanese pop. The album was crowned with HDX and BASF awards, and it raised the popularity of Sundanese songs nationally. It can be said that Kalangkang is the start line of the popularity of Sundanese pop songs in Indonesia. Kalangkang once became the song to be always performed in wedding ceremonies, and it was the most played in radio stations with Sundanese pop songs. Well, listener, next we'll play you for a Sundanese pop song sung by Hetty Koes Endang entitled Cinta. Stay tuned.
Oh,
Listener, just like the title, the song composed by Nano S described everything about love. Love could bring happiness to people with all the beauty, but love could bring sadness whenever it's disappearing. The phenomenal success made by Nining Meida through her album Kalangkang made other musicians, including Musica Studios, arrange their artists to record Sundanese pop songs like Hetty Koes Endang. Known as a multi-talented singer, Hetty Koes Endang grabbed the opportunity and did it well. Cinta album opened the door for the success she made in the Sundanese pop genre. Lagu Cinta was an easy listening and soothing song, although it could only be completely understood by the Sundanese speaking people. But the song could also be enjoyed and followed by the all music lovers in Indonesia. The success of Lagu Cinta in the market established Hetty Koes Endang's name as a multi-genre singer who was almost successful in every album she released. Listener, to wrap up today's edition of Music Corner, let's listen to a song by Hetty Koes Endang. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, thank you for listening and I'll see you on the next Music Corner.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.